Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you all to another episode of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I'm your host, Chris Richardson. I am peacock proud and happier than a hog in slop that you join in tonight and that you are listening. And if this is your first time listening, whether you're listening to a live event, whether you're online listening through the podcast, listening to the replay, I just want to welcome you and just tell you I am thankful that you have found it fit to take some time out of your schedule to join with us tonight. Now, listen, we got some important stuff to talk about because you know this show is all about helping people live better, love deeper, and laugh more. And our country is really in a state of emergency right now. And so we've got to start and build a foundation of love and find out, you know, really, let's learn a little bit tonight. So this is all about helping people get better. I've always said from the very beginning of time, when you are better, we are better. What does that mean? Better fathers, better husbands, better mothers, better daughters, better wives, all together. And so it begins with you and ends with you. And if you don't change, neither will your circumstances. So change is inevitable, whether you want to embrace it or accept it or not. It is inevitable. We all are going to change as we age. And, again, it's one of those things that we have not necessarily – we don't control the change. But tonight I want to just tune in for a night. We're going to talk about the attitude of anger versus the fit of rage. So if this is your first time ever listening to the show, again, welcome. If you've been to the show before, then you're no stranger. As I just told Ed and Deb as they're out traveling with me, you're no stranger to the rodeo, so this ain't your first one. So sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. Put your seatbelt on because I'm hoping that tonight you will engage me for the next hour so that we can have a discussion about this thing called anger and this other topic called rage. What's the difference between the two? Well, after the song selection, we'll get a little bit deeper into that. But for the next couple minutes, I want you to listen to the song. Listen to the words of the song.
As I lay me down, heaven hear me now, I'm lost without a cause, after giving it my all, winter storms have come, and darkened my sun, after all that I've been on earth can I turn to? I look to you. I look to you. After all my strength is gone, in you I can be strong. I look to you. Searching for that open door. And every road that I've taken led to my regret. And I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Nothing to do but lift my head. I look to you. I look to you. to you.
Well, family, let's get excited. Let's get into this topic right now. And you just heard from Whitney Houston, the late, great Whitney Houston. She talks about I Look to You. And, you know, when I think about the lyrics of that song and just read the lyrics, she says, as I lay me down, heaven, hear me now. Heaven, hear me now. She's crying out to God. I'm lost without a cause after giving it my all. So many people in our country and our culture feel the same way right now with different movements that we have going on. And all I want to say to you is this. In the beginning, I've got a lot to say tonight. We're going to dial into that in just a minute. But what I want to say is that we may be helpless in certain circumstances, but we are a people that are never hopeless. We walk by faith, not by what we see. Yet we may see these things that cause us great pain. We may not have answers immediately for the situation, but we are going to get through it, we're going to get over it, and we're going to get beyond it because we are a people that have been through a number of things. And so as a culture, we have been oppressed before. We have overcome that, but we have a lot of work yet to do. And it begins with you and ends with you. And as I said at the beginning of the show, if you don't change, neither will your circumstances. So this is it. This is where the rubber meets the road. I sat back along with a number of other people and watched. I am appalled at the things that I see today, even as on live. There is no censorship anymore. And so we got to talk about this. I've seen too many people act out on a fit of rage, not anger. So we're going to talk about that in greater detail, too. What's different? Is there a difference between being angry and rage? Can one be controlled versus the other? Well, we'll take a look at that and a snapshot of that in just a few minutes as we delve into that. But I just want to tell you, and I want to encourage someone who's listening tonight, that at the end of the day, it's going to get better. However, we've got to go through it. And I know that so when you have done your best, as Whitney has said in the song, she says, I look to you. Who is she looking to? She's looking to God. She's looking for God for solutions and answers. Now, here's the thing. Faith is a thing that we are going to stand on right now, and prayer. We're going to pray, but as we pray, we're going to elevate and move our feet. We're going to mobilize. We're not just going to sit back. We're going to pray and wait for God to give us a strategy. I heard this yesterday from my pastor as he talked about that, and I couldn't agree more. A strategy so that we don't act out in our emotions. Again, our emotion of rage or anger, we'll talk about that. So, Ed and Debbie, thanks for rolling with a brother, as you all do. We're delighted tonight. We get a chance to roll with Sister Deb. Deb, you there?
Hey, Mr. 805. Yes, I'm here. And this is such an important conversation. So, you know, Ed and I are happy to be on the call tonight and, you know, hopefully help someone navigate through what they're feeling, what they're thinking, and, you know, make sure that we're acting responsibly at the end of the day. Because if we want to change, we cannot be rash. We cannot be impulsive. We have to be strategic, and we have to have a plan that we can execute.
Absolutely. Well said. And let's get the other guy a chance over there to say something as well. Brother Ed, go ahead and say hello to the family.
Hey, fam, what's going on, man? This is Edward Smith. Half of Meet the Smiths, man. We're so delighted to be on this call tonight, man. Listen, man, you know, it's all about saving relationships, man. And, you know, delighted that, like I've stated before, to be on. You know, we're going to get it done. You know, we're not here to dictate to you what you should or should not do. We're here to learn from each other, and that's what it's all about, bro.
Yeah, that's all. I like what you said, but at the end of the day, we are just as much the students as we are the teachers or instructors or just the personalities tonight on the show. We're all learning this thing together. But as Debbie said, we have to learn how to be responsible, not reckless. And that is a key thing, and we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. So this whole thing, I'm troubled by it, what we've seen. I'm troubled by my ear gate, what I've heard, and all of that. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, I got a choice. I have a choice as well in it to choose whether I want to watch it, whether some of it I want to listen to, how much I let come in my eye gate, let come in my ear gate. I don't have to get the replay over and over again. So, you know, why does that disturb you? Well, listen, your issue, I've said this time and time again, your issue doesn't have to become someone else's problem. But you've got to learn how to get to the root issue of it. If you don't get to the root, because a lot of times we always do this. We treat a dandelion, try to take care of a root issue with a surface solution. You cannot treat a root issue with a surface solution thinking it's going to go away. Okay, well, what do you mean? Well, if you cut a dandelion down, guess what? If you don't get it at the root, you know it's going to come back, and it's going to come back in multiple places. So here's the thing. This isn't the first time that we've had a number of incidents that have risen up across our country. However, it is more or less the first time that we've been able to see it live. We've been able to see a number of these incidents that have happened live as they have been unfolded. And again, you know, I'm not condoning violence at all. Let me say that. I am not. What I want to do is that we have to be responsible and echo the sentiment tonight. And we've got to learn how to walk by faith, and we've got to learn how to pray. We've got to learn how to find a strategy so that we can execute. And once we can start to do that and come into agreement as one unit, one body, then we can start to make a change. And so we can't do that if everybody wants to act out on their pain leading into a violent situation. Violence never solves a problem. It only makes a problem worse. So violence does not solve anything. It exacerbates the problem. Okay? It exacerbates the problem. So, you guys, what I'm going to do just for the callers, and then I'm going to bring you guys back in just a second. I think I can hear a lot of the wind in the background, so I'm going to mute you out just for a hot second, then I'm going to bring you right back in. So stay tuned. Hold on one second. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying, let's talk about this thing called anger, you know, and what is anger? So, listen, every one of us has experienced anger. Every one of us. Anger is not unusual to us at all. We've all experienced whether we felt a fleeting annoyance or whether we've seen anger act out in a full-blown state of rage. But what's the actual difference between anger and rage? And here's the thing I would say. People become angry or frustrated. Several things happen. One, whenever they're not able to achieve a goal. You ever see someone who can't achieve a goal? They get frustrated. They get angry with it. Two, when they're unable to communicate their thought or a feeling, and they get angry with that. When people can't articulate themselves properly, they get angry. If you ever met someone who had a learning disability or someone who got frustrated or gets frustrated when the other person, they don't feel that they're being understood. And so it's, when they're not able to communicate their thoughts, their feelings, and their emotions, then that's when a person gets angry. Another reason why people get angry is that they harbor resentment. They harbor resentment. We're going to take a look at that because in a minute we're going to talk about the story of Cain and Abel through the biblical example of that. And that was one of the things that we saw there played out early on in after the creation of man. They harbor resentment. And the last piece I would say people see within experience anger is when they carry unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, and that's a big one. That's not even a show that I can touch on tonight because that in itself is like a series about how to deal with unforgiveness. But those are certain pieces, the components to the root of anger, of how we do that. So I want to share a perspective with you. That number one, I want to say this. Your perspective may not be your reality, but it may be your new normal, even if it's false. So understand what I just said. Oftentimes, you make your perspective your reality and your normal. And so, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Chris? Okay, so let me kind of try to expound on, unpack that one a little bit because I've got to work with that one. You take what you see by sight. Now, you may, okay, so you've seen a number of things, but you're taking what you see that you've seen on social media, that you've seen on TV, and you're now making that your perspective into your new normal. And in reality, it's, even if it's false, it becomes your new normal because you've said to yourself, you've conditioned your mind, you said, well, this is as best as it gets. This is the best that it gets, and this is all that I can have. It's not going to get any better. We're not going to get out and vote. Even if I vote, my vote doesn't count. So that means you've made that one situation, you've taken that situation or several situations, instances that may have happened. Yes, it is true that it has happened. But what is true is not always the truth. I'm going to say that again. What is true is not always the truth. And so yet we've seen a lot of things unfold. But let's get to the root of the issue. The root of a lot of the issues deals with the unforgiveness of that. Okay, so where are we going with this? I think we look at this whole thing from the very beginning of time. And if we can go back and just kind of look at this. I looked at Where in the Bible, okay, y'all know this is a Christian-based show, and I make no apologies for it whatsoever. Where in the Bible does it begin with the first mention of anger? You got to go back to first mentions. We always talk about that in the very beginning. And when you look at that, you notice that when it came to Cain and Abel, now, for those who are not Bible scholars, it's okay. I'm going to walk you through this. Cain and Abel were the sons of Adam and Eve, okay? Adam and Eve, very beginning, chapter 4, if you got a Bible, okay? So here's the thing. Where is it mentioned? Chapter 4, verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Now, here's the first mention of the word angry. And why has your countenance fallen? And so now Cain, at this point, you go to verse 8. Now, Cain talks to Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field. So he waited for his opportunity. They're out in the field. Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. Well, wait, how did we get here? God saw that he was angry, so let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the very first few verses in chapter 4. So here we notice that in verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Now, in verse 4, it said that Abel also brought of his firstborn, of his flock, and other fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Well, he ain't mentioned anything about Cain. So Cain felt a certain kind of way, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. That's what it said in verse 5. It said that he did not respect it. And Cain was very angry. There it is, the first mention of it. Cain was angry and his countenance failed. So, folks, now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see when someone feels a certain way, because there are certain people that wear their heart, as they say, you wear your heart on your sleeve. You can always tell how you're feeling because you can look at your face and it's all twisted and sideways. You ain't got to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But what we have to learn how to do is it's okay, but how do we express that emotion in a way that it is healthy as opposed to how it is unhealthy and reckless? So how do we get to that point? So let's talk. Let's bring Deb and Ed back in. And let's bring them in for this discussion so that we can talk about that. So, Ed, Deb, here, bringing you back in. I know that you guys are in the car, but let's unpack that a little bit. You heard me talk a little bit about Cain and Abel. Here we were talking about, in the very beginning, Cain and Abel, chapter 4. That's the foundation of it. In chapter 4, now, they make a love offering, basically. They give an offering of their first fruits. God was pleased with Abel, but not with Cain. Cain got jealous of Abel, and he was angry. And he took his brother out in the field, and he killed him. The mention of that. So, Ed, Deb, I don't think this is rocket science. Let's talk about what was the root issue there.
Well, Cain was rejected. You know, Cain felt rejected. He wanted his offering to be accepted, too, even though he knew that's not what the Lord asked for. But he wasn't obedient. And that's what we do sometimes. We're not obedient. We may be experience some type of rejection, and then that leads us to feeling angry, unworthy, jealous of the person who may have been accepted. And so that's where those feelings come in, you know. And when we don't control our emotions, when we don't address those emotions, and seek some type of reconciliation, could have went to God and say, you know, God, you know, why aren't you accepting what I've given you? He could have spoken to his brother. What is it that you're doing that I'm not doing and why you're accepted and I'm not? But he didn't want to go that route. And so we have to learn how to get to the heart of our feelings. Why do we feel the way we feel? What has happened? How can we reconcile our differences? And if we don't do that, if we allow that those emotions to fester, it gets to a place where we can kill someone. We can physically kill them. We can kill them with our words. We can reject them and shut them out. There's so many negative behaviors that we can express or behaviors that we can go through if we don't acknowledge and deal with our anger and our emotions.
Yeah, absolutely on that. So And we're going to define this whole thing of anger, and we're going to define rage in this scenario with Cain and Abel. Now, Debbie, you were kind of spot on, and I agree with that. So he acted out on the rejection. He acted out on his frustration, but in his disobedience, you know, to the matter. But anger, by definition, is a strong feeling of annoyance or displeasure or hostility. That's the definition of anger. It's a strong feeling. So when God created us, hey, it's okay. It is a natural emotion that he gave us. However, as Debbie said, though, unless we learn how to channel that in the right direction, then that anger can become it can become something that it leads to rage. Now, rage, on the other hand, is similar but not the same. So one of them this is the thing. One you can control and the other you can't. Now, when you ever been in a situation, Deb, when you were upset with your kids and they did something that you just were pissed off about and you hauled off and you reacted out of that anger and hit them? Okay. Would you say that was anger or rage?
Well, I think it's really really anger anger that is it is controlled but yet not controlled. You know, and that may sound like an oxymoron or something like that, but rage, in my opinion, is when you reach to a place where now you're going for the jugular, you're killing, you know, because anger is something that fuels rage. And so rage is a place where you act, where you're gonna finalize something, and oftentimes rage leads to
injury,
you know, bodily injury, arm, death, those kind of stuff. You know, and it's after the consequence, you know, when all the dust is settled, then you start to say, man, I probably should not have done that. But then you allowed your anger to get to a place where it was where you no longer had control over it. And so you just acted, because here's what it is. Whenever
Ed, you there? I think we lost you. All right. Well, we lost Ed and Deb, and I'm sure they'll be joining back in with us in a second. But here's the thing. When you don't control your emotions will control you. The difference between anger and rage, one you can control, and the other you cannot. It controls you. So if you ever get to the point in the place where you feel angry, it's okay, as long as you can control it. The problem is when you get to the point of rage, you look in your face, you can see it. Right now, you're out of control. You are on a level of 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, and you're about to pop off. Something's going to jump off. And the problem is you do it, and then before you realize it, you went upside his or her head, or you did something that you shouldn't have done. And much like what we've seen here lately, where all these incidents have occurred, we're noticing a fit of rage. Now, most of these things have been plotted. But if you look back to you trace it back to the root, it's going back to many of the things that I had said in the very beginning of the session that we talked about, is that for a person that felt that they were misunderstood, miscommunicated, that they were harboring resentment or unforgiveness. And so all of those things are the root, and it's a culmination that leads into, you know, hey, acting out on it. If I don't feel as though that my message is getting achieved. Now, I've seen a number of things where we talk about people are reacting now to different situations, and they're becoming angry by what they see and hear on TV. There's a good anger and there's a bad anger. Now, let's delve a little bit into that. I mean, because, you know, we all know, well, one of the things that I want to talk about first before I go there about talking about Jesus and the anger as he turned over the tables, as we see in Matthew, when we look at when Jesus asked, or God asked Cain's response to this, guys, was not good at all. His response was he didn't know. He said, I don't know. That's the problem. That's when you're in a fit of rage, when it takes over you and you have no clue what you just did. So here's first form of point. I want you to know, if you're writing this down, write this one down. If you don't know your why, your what's going to get you in trouble. I'm going to say that again. If you don't know your why, what you do is going to get you in trouble. In fact, what you do may put you 6 feet under. What you do may put you behind prison bars. What you do may cause you to have a lifetime of regret for a lot of years to come. So you've got to get to the root of the issue, because if you don't address your issue is going to become somebody else's problem. There is a right way to handle things in being sensitive and sensible and responsible, not reckless. Well, I'm going to pause and bring Debbie and Ed back in. Ed, you were making a point before you got disconnected there, my brother.
Yes. Let me put him back on. Continue with your point.
Can I get my point? I was saying that anger is something that fuels rage, and when you allow anger to get to the point of rage, you know, where you want to inflict bodily harm and stuff like that, brother, that's when you no longer have control over anything. So, you know, at all times, as the Bible says, Chris, and you know, when we talk from the Bible. The Bible says that, you know, you ought to let this mind be in you as it is in Christ Jesus, because if you don't do that, man, because of our sinful nature, we can allow our mind to get to a place where we no longer have control over it.
Absolutely, and that's a good point. That's why it's called the attitude of anger, because attitude is all about mindset. Attitude is all about mindset, and that's the key to it. Now, folks, if you're taking notes, I've already given you the first point, and if you don't understand your why, your what's going to get you in trouble, or your what's going to control you, this is the other thing I want to tell you this. We've got to learn how to reflect and challenge what we see and what we hear before we act and believe on what we fear. I'm going to say that slower. You've got to challenge what you see and what you hear before you act and believe. You act on what you fear and what you believe. What you see is not always the truth, because there's not always – it may be true, as I said before. It's true that it had happened. It's true that it was said, but it may not necessarily be the truth in its totality. You've got to be careful about the media streams of outlets that you plug into for your information. Too much information can be sensory overload. Too much wrong information can cause you to make a poor choice, leading you into a state of it can comatose you. And so here we are. You're now in a culture and a climate that we thought that prior to 9/11, we never had anything called a war on terror. That was a new term that was introduced to us. We had back in the 80s a war on crack that was put out. Back in the 80s, it was a war. At that time, we were fighting against a drug. But now we're fighting. And so what are you trying to say, Brother Chris? What I'm saying is that the enemy hasn't stopped fighting. He's just fighting with different weapons. The enemy is still prevalent. He's doing his job. Absolutely. He fought back in the 80s. He introduced crack cocaine. It hit the streets. So what am I saying again? Okay, point number two to this message.
Wait a minute, Chris.
We've got to learn how to do is.
Saying the enemy is no longer fighting with bow and arrow, right? Now he's using 9mm, he's using missile and stuff like that, because that's what's relevant, that's what's current to today's world, right?
Absolutely. He'll use whatever you allow him to use. If you allow him to rent space in your mind, he'll occupy the territory as long as he can. Because what he'll do is he'll create a deception. The enemy lives in deception, doubt, and discouragement. He lives to deceive you by what you see, what your eye gate, what your ear gate, to you to believe that is your truth in totality. And what I'm saying to you is that what you see necessarily doesn't mean that it was untrue. But you got to get all the facts before you act on something that you fear or that you believe. Your belief is only a belief when you were taught this. We always say the Easter Bunny, you know, Santa. Those are things that you were taught. But once the belief is affirmed in truth, okay, so what is the truth? Well, the truth got to be the Word of God if we're going to go back to the baseline. If we say that we are in God we trust, then why do we take God out of school? If we say that in God we believe, we're one country under God, then why aren't we under God? Because we've watered down God and diluted God. We've got to a point where we've had so much separation and division ever since the beginning. Now, this isn't new. The church separated a long time ago. It's nothing new under the sun. But, however, what we've got to do now, the enemy has played enough tricks because people have stepped aside and become on their own agenda. Listen, Dr. Johnny Parker, friend and mentor of mine, would say, when man promotes God, God promotes man. So whose agenda are you promoting is the question. And if you find yourself in a fit of anger or in a fit of rage in a situation, you got to ask yourself the question is why. And here's the thing. Jesus was angry. Absolutely. Jesus turned over the table. Absolutely. He was angry, but he was not enraged. He had control of the situation. Now, here's the thing. What you got to understand is why was he angry? He was angry at the sin. You got to learn how to get to a point where you get angry and so upset at the enemy messing with your territory. You got to get angry and upset with the sin nature. But remember, you got free will. And if you're not careful, your free choice can take you into the fit of rage. Now, I've said a lot here. I want to park for a minute. I want to come up for some air. And if you got a question or a comment or you want to share a positive note or just a reflection, remember, this show, we can agree to disagree. We always have one housekeeping rule, and that's real simple. At the end of the day, we can challenge the message, but what it? We never, what? Attack the messenger.
Attack the messenger.
That's point blank. That's it. So if you want to ask a comment or a question, feel free to do so, 619-924-0869. Again, that number is 619-924-0869, and you can just press number 1. Now, if you're out on the Internet, I want you to connect with us on our Facebook group that you can join the group page, dial that in on your computer. Just go to The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. That's The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Group on Facebook. So The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Group. You got a comment or question, just press number 1 that you want to share in this. What are your thoughts about anger? What are your thoughts about rage? What's the difference? Do you agree or do you disagree with what we said so far? Is this new information for you? You know, what happens? Now, we're gonna go in this direction now, Deb, and I want to talk about what happens now to the body. What happens to the body? So we know, yep, we didn't talk about the whole thing with Cain and Abel. We got that out of the way. We talked about Jesus. Yes, he was angry. He turned it over. And so now what happens when you get angry? We got to understand this thing. See, what you don't understand, again, to that whole point, you don't understand your why. Remember your why. If you don't know your why, your what's going to control you. What you do, what you say, that it's too late then because you can't take it back. Many of us have been in relationships and situations, whether it's family members and certain things that were said, you know, those words, you can't retract that. You know, at this point now, we're all mourning the loss of innocent men and women that did not have to die. Those things, we can't take it back now. So when we don't deal with the sensitivity or the cultural diversity or how we hire people, her pastor said yesterday, my pastor is Pastor John Kenneth Jenkins, shout out to him, that we've got to start to learn how to hire these different agencies based on a person's character. That's how we make choices. See, anybody can somewhat say the right thing, but you got to just observe and look at the character of the person, you know, who they really are to get to the root of it. All right, so let's keep this train moving. And, Deb, y'all on board?
Yep.
We're here.
All right. So, folks, life is full of frustrations, and things happen as they sometimes will. They will. They won't always go your way. So when we use our frustration and anger to motivate us, something in our life is going to change. Anger and frustration will end up hurting us if we're not careful more than helping us. But for many people, anger and frustration result in irritability. It can result in wrath. It can result in stress, resentment, loss of confidence, depression, and other negative behaviors that act out as a root result of anger. Now, here's the one thing. I didn't throw this out there, but we were talking about what Deb said about Cain when he killed his brother Abel. It was rejected. Bless you, brother. It was rejection at that time, and resentment and jealousy. Rejection, resentment, and jealousy. And at the end of that, guess what? That summarizes. If you look at that, that's unforgiveness. That's unforgiveness. Because when you can't forgive a person, you become You feel because maybe you felt rejected because of something that they did or they said. You felt resentment toward that person, or you felt jealousy. In this case, his own brother, he was jealous of him, certainly, because God liked what Abel had brought, but didn't necessarily give props to what Cain had brought forth. And so that led to a level of rage that he acted out on. And so let's understand this whole thing a little bit more. You know, we talked about it. It's an emotion. And I'm sharing some information that I found from Psychology Anywhere, AnywhereAnytime.com as well. So anger is an emotional response to a real or felt imagined grievance. It may have its root in a past or present experience, or it may be in an anticipation of a future event. Anger is invariably based on the perception of a threat or a perceived threat due to a conflict, injustice, negligence, humiliation, and betrayal amongst others. So I just wanted to share that definition. So most words in our vocabulary describe various forms of anger that are different from their primary intensity of passion and arousal. A partial list includes irritation for anger, frustration, annoyance, myth, sulking, offended, indignation, exasperation, and the list continues to go on. Anger can be an active or passive emotion. Yeah, that's true. It can be active or passive. In a case of active emotion, the angry person lashes out verbally or physically at the intended target, but anger is passive. As a passive emotion, it can be characterized by silent sulking, passive-aggressive behavior, and hostility. All right, well, let's go a little bit further, Brother Chris. Anger can be caused by both external and internal events. You can be angry at a specific person or an event. So you get into a traffic jam or there's a canceled event. You can be angry at that. And you got to watch what you say. One of the things that you got to be careful of is if you're saying, you have what you say. We always say, as we are believers, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You have what you say. So if you're not angry, don't speak that you are angry. Amen? So if you are angry, then it is what it is. But if you're not, don't speak it, because what happens is you start speaking that enough, then that's all you know. Going back to the beginning, what I said, your perception becomes the reality until the truth is challenged. So that becomes your new norm, or it becomes your false environment. So be careful of that, because everybody else don't want to be a part of your pity party or your anger in your situation. You feeling me so far? And Deb?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving. All right, so the psychological aspects of anger. This is the part that I want to touch on. Like many emotions, anger is accompanied by psychological and, like, biological changes. We know that. But what does it do? Because, yeah, we know that it's a natural emotion. So when you get angry, your heart rate and your blood pressure go up, as do the levels of your energy hormones, your adrenaline and your noradrenaline. Your rate of breathing increases, and your body's muscles, they tense up. So you got to be really careful. Let's say you're already on the borderline of having hypertension. You start getting angry, what happens? Your pressure's going up, you know, and a number of things are with that. Because what it does, it releases more hormones into your body that are toxic. They're toxic. So if you're feeling stressed out, maybe because you keep saying you're angry all the time. If you're feeling sick, maybe it's because you keep saying you're angry. If you're not angry, then okay, cool. Then bring it down and just say, I'm happy. I should have played that song in the beginning. And, you know, the happy song, or Kirk Franklin's happy. You know, so expressing anger it's real important to learn really how you express your anger. People use a variety of both conscious and unconscious processes really when they deal with their angry feelings. So you got to realize that when you express anger, it's your feelings, it can be done in a violent and destructive way, or in an assertive but non-aggressive manner. So hopefully, whoever, whether it's you or the other person that you're talking with, who is angry has learned or is learning how to make clear and clear what their needs are. See, that's the problem is that when we're angry, we talked about it from the very beginning, you've got to learn how to express your needs, those things that you want. And it came from what I had said is that you felt that you're not able to articulate or communicate your feelings or you felt misunderstood. So you've got to learn how to rechannel that energy. In a different way. One of the things that I always do, even at work, because in a work environment that I'm in, hey, do you want to cut in and say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, I'm sitting here listening to you, and, you know, food for thought. If you think about Jesus when he was on earth and, you know, when he was angry and turned over the table and stuff, you know, if we look at what is happening, there is nothing wrong with being angry. You can be angry at the situation, but not with the person. Follow what I'm saying? Oftentimes, our anger, you know, maximizes itself into rage because now we tie the situation to the person, and so not only
right.
we're angry with the situation, but now we're angry with the person, and so it became, it turns into rage, and we now want to eliminate the person, as opposed
right.
to eliminating the situation that causes the anger. You know,
I'll take that. And connect that part right there. Let's make this connection real quick. Let's play Connect Four. What you just
yes.
said right there. So Jesus
mm-hmm.
was angry at the sin, but not the person. That's what
Come
you're
on,
saying.
Brother.
So he
yeah.
took his energy out on the issue, and he didn't make his issue somebody else's problem.
Come on, brother.
His angry
Come
anger
on, bro.
Did not lead to rage. He did not shoot somebody. He did not kill anybody, you know,
mm-hmm.
in that situation. So here's what we've got to learn how to do. We've got to follow the example that was given to us. If we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we are angry, be angry at the sin, be angry at the enemy, for he stepped into your camp. The enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy and be cunning. He hasn't stopped doing what he does. As I said, in the 80s, he used crack cocaine. Now what he's done in 2000, he introduced the war on terror. Guess what he's doing now? He's in your TV. He's on your Facebook Live. He's sitting in your living room because he knows he's got a captive audience and you're willing to listen. You're willing to watch.
Mm.
You're willing to watch
mm.
over and over again, but you're not getting angry. So you're getting angry at the people.
Right.
You're getting angry at the people because they say Black Lives Matter. You're getting angry at the people because, well, let me just be real raw with this here, okay? And so let me just real raw. I am Team Jesus all the way till you cut me till you die. I don't care whether you're
Amen.
Asian, whether you're black, whether you're white. I believe that all people matter. At the end of the day, all lives matter. Yes, there are disparities that have been given to us in a hand that we didn't deal, okay, at the end of the day. But I'm going to say it like this. We've got to be angry at the sin, not the sinner. I don't care
Come on,
if
man.
A person is a homosexual or not. That don't have anything
mm.
to do with my walk. That has nothing to do with it. We got to find out what this thing looks like to be called brotherly love and to be in a walk in agape love. I'm not
mm.
angry with you. I may be angry with the sin that may be within you. So what does that mean,
yes,
Ed? Ed? Well, that means I got to learn how to fight with a different weapon. I've got to be more able to pick up my Bible and get a word that will sustain me, because if I feel myself rising up in a certain way, well, I need to step out of this situation, so I got to find a word, you know, whether it's just Jesus wept or not. That may not sustain me because the enemy knows more word. The problem is the enemy knows more word than you do. And
mm-hmm.
he knows how to use it against you to make you question you. So going back to what we said earlier, right, when we were talking about that whole false reality piece, the enemy is just taking your word and using it against you. He knows
mm-hmm.
your word because, well, he was a fallen angel. And now he is, what, waltzing around to and fro upon the land, trying to wreak havoc on whoever he may devour. And he's got us right there. Excuse me, he's got us right there in the clinches because you know what? He sees you're watching. He knows all I got to do is if I tweet this video on Fox News, they're going to say it this way. Well, over here on ABC, they may say it this way. What does that do? It causes confusion. So you don't know whether it's true. Yeah, it's true that it played. It was true that it was said, but you don't know the truth. So what happens, we rush to the conclusion of a public opinion, and we don't really know the truth or the reality of what's truly happened in its totality. Now, right is right and wrong is wrong. Spade is a spade. Call it out what you see it, right? Okay, all right. We call it on the table for this. But here's the thing. Our past experience don't always have to shape our future, just like our present situations don't always control our end destination. When you are at your weakest, ladies and gentlemen, God is at his best. When you are weak, when you don't know, when I say I look to you, that means I'm looking up, because right now I don't know what to do. God, I don't know how to answer. I have an answer for this situation. I don't have a platform that's big enough for this situation. But it starts with you and ends with you. So if you don't change, neither will your circumstances. You've got to learn and find out what are your root issues. What are the things that are creating the emotional imbalances within you, that you're releasing these toxic chemicals into your mind, and these things are raging. And so what's happening now, you're out of balance. And you're trying to find a new norm in a culture that is wrong is right and right is wrong. So now you're struggling. You pick up your Bible maybe every, you know, once a week, maybe once a month, maybe once a year. You may go to church. Church ain't really for me, so I ain't doing that. Okay, well, cool. That ain't the word. You know, at the end of the day, look, I ain't got a heaven and hell to put you in at the end of the day. It is real. However, at the end of the day, if we're looking for solutions, the truth is in the word of God, not in the word of man. I digress for a second. Stand there. I'm going to come up with some air.
Man, you're saying a lot of stuff, man. And if we can learn to rechannel, you know, the way we get angry, we could get angry all day long, because the Bible says, you know, mm-hmm. it's okay to be angry and sin not, you know, but we sin because we pin that anger to the person, and so because of that, we want to eliminate, we want an immediate result. You know, you made me feel you, as a result of you, I am doing this. And so we're not taking blame for anything as it relates to our behavior or our action. We're
right.
blaming the person. And so because we're blaming the person, we want to eradicate the person.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to be honest. I've been angry, you know, the last seen what has been going on. You know, when I see the videos, I get angry. But what I'm not going to allow myself to do is to sit in front of my TV, watch video after video, listen to all
mm-hmm.
the ignorance that's spewing out of some of these leaders' mouths, and allow myself to get into a fit of rage where I then want to go out and hurt somebody. The anger that I'm feeling is fueling me to get involved in my community, to figure out how we can change legislature, figure out how we can get to the schools and teach these young men and these women how to respond when stopped by a policeman, how to respond when questioned or detained, to get communication going between local policemen and our community, you know, so that we begin to understand each other. Yes, the policemen say that they're afraid, but guess what? We're afraid too. So if we're both afraid of each other, how can we get anywhere? How can we accomplish anything? How can we fix this unless we begin to have some real conversations? You know, we can't hide behind our religious rhetoric. We can't hide behind political rhetoric. We have to get real. We have to sit across from each other, and we have to say, I am afraid of you because of what I have seen in the media. Who are you? Why do you do the job you do? What can I expect of you? And if we don't begin to have those real conversations, we're going to keep perpetuating this cycle over and over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to touch base on that, and that's a special segment that I'm going to do this Wednesday. If you were listening to my live post, I talked about that briefly. This Wednesday I'm going to do a special segment, and to be determined whether or not I spoke with the chief's office, and he is out of town. So hopefully that they may be able to send a representative, or I may do a different segment with the chief of police from Prince George's County. awesome, awesome man. They called me back today, folks. So I'm just telling you, I'm a little small fry in the grand scheme of things, but the fact that they called me. So I agree, it's all about relationships. I know a few people, you know, so I leverage my influence. We're going to talk about that on Monday as well next week, but I don't want to get off topic right now. Let's go a little different direction before we bring this in for a landing, because it's almost the top of the hour. So, but as we were talking about the expressing your anger, you've got to learn how to do that. And I applaud you, Debbie, because you acknowledged and identified the root of it. You acknowledged that you are angry, but you said, hey, we're going to cut this thing right here at the umbilical cord, because I'm not going to sit up here and watch all this buffoonery on TV, and I'm not going to get frustrated with man. I'm going to get frustrated with the sin that's going to cause and lead me to an action that is not consequential. The action is a healthy action because you've rechanneled your energy, and that's what we've got to learn how to do. We've got to learn how to do the same thing. That's called the hierarchy of needs, of learning how do you do this? How do you go from ground zero to level 10? And if I feel I'm at a level 10, how do I learn how to count the 10s, perhaps, to bring this thing down? Some of you need to learn how to deal and go through some anger management, because we're so frustrated by the roots of our root pain, our mama issues, our daddy issues, and then we don't even realize it, that that's a resentment that's boiling up in us. That's called unforgiveness. That unforgiveness is the root of things. So when you see certain things that are played out, what happens? The root of my pain comes back to the surface of my situation. Whoa, wait a minute there. So I'm looking at this TV. Okay. So for those of you all who grew up in the South, or those of you who are African of African American influence, you all knew that our ancestors came up through slavery. So for some of us, we know you've never been enslaved. You were never enslaved. But because of what they went through, the root of the pain, and because of what you were brought up through, you could either have a bias towards that I don't like a certain class or color of people or not. It is a choice and a free will that was given, but that root of that was through the pain of a lens of your ancestral pain that you had seen or someone else in your family had told you about. So now what happens? You've taken on that bias. And so just like a computer, the brain is very much like a computer. It will put out, and it has a memory forever and ever. It has RAM, okay? So it's going to remember those things. And it's the funny part about it is it's the unconscious mind. The unconscious, the subconscious mind is doing most, 80% of the behavior is controlled by the subconscious. Then more than the 20% is controlled by the conscious. All right, so, bro, Chris, what are you saying? What I'm trying to do is get you to understand that until you realize that you need to be angry and upset with the sin, not the the people, you're going to be fighting with the wrong weapons of warfare. And that's what we've got to do. So if you want to be angry, go ahead. But understand, anger leads to high blood pressure. Anger leads to depression. Anger don't lead into anything that is good if you don't channel it the right way. So you got to learn how to rechannel that thing, like Tai Chi. You use the energy of the enemy that he gives you. Use it against him, to not by force. So that's the whole thing. We got to learn how to flow. Water flows wherever it goes. We got to learn how to flow wherever we go. So now I'm not saying conform to it. I said flow. So if you're in certain environments, you know how to flow to create your level of influence so that we can start moving an agenda forward. Now, it can't be about man's agenda. It has to be a godly agenda. And if it's about man's agenda, it will be exposed to the surface in a light. The truth will come out and prevail. So I said something that I want to go back to, something I had written down on my notes that I want to share with the listeners tonight. And one of the things I said is our past experiences do not always have to shape our future, just like our present situation doesn't have to control our end destination. I want to expound on that just a little bit. Absolutely, we've seen a lot. But what I'm saying is this: don't throw God away. God is not dead. And as believers of faith, we can't afford to sit back and let the enemy plant more seeds of doubt, discouragement, and fear. He has used this tactic for far too long. So you already know the enemy's tactic. So press release, here we go. Press release, we're dropping the pamphlets out there right now. The enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. We already know that he's trying to use fear, doubt, and discouragement to do that. So here's what we need to do. It's a tragedy of all that what we've seen. Yes, we may feel helpless, but I want to encourage you that you're not hopeless. You're not hopeless. because our faith is built in a higher power. Our faith is built on the blood. It was that blood at Calvary's cross that died for you and for me. Our faith is in the blood. What do you mean in the blood? Well, there's power in the blood. And see, here's the thing. Jesus knew that what he saw was true. Oh, my God. But it wasn't the truth. Yes, he saw the cross that he was going to die on. But the truth was he died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. And he got up with not just some power, but all power. So it's that blood. Yeah, we are making a sacrifice now. There are many that's innocent blood. One too many is a sacrifice too far too much. But what I want to say to you is this, that as a believer in our faith, as Christians, we know that we're going to rise above the situation. We're going to rise up, and we're going to walk again. And I always said to my fiance, I would say, when will the baby walk? The baby walks when it's ready to walk. God is going to move, and God is already moving. Guess what? He's just waiting on you. Now, here's the one thing I said to this, and this is the thing I mentioned, Deb, and God is still, he still exists. He's not dead. Still present. The question is the church willing to wake up and set aside our denominational differences? Is the church willing to set aside our denominational differences so that our communities and the rebuilding of this country can happen? And are we willing to help in a nation in mourning? Do we have enough faith? Do we have enough faith to be faithful in times like these? Now, hey, newsflash, I just want to let you know, to everyone listening under the sound of my voice or who will listen, you are the church. The church is not just a building. The church is just not the pastor. Last I checked, it says that the body, that means everyone, he needs your gift, he needs my gift, he needs Debbie's gift, he needs Edward's gift, all the gifts to come together so that we can flow in operation. The problem is some of us have been used to running this thing as a running back, and we ain't playing on the same team. So what we've got to do in order for the church is not dead, folks. And so what I want you to say, many people say it's not. Just because you don't see God doesn't mean he's dead. Amen? You know what I'm saying? It is. There are things that are happening behind the scenes that you don't even know. There are things that are happening in the holiest of holies that are orchestrating on your behalf. Your blessing, your breakthrough, your promise, all that is moving. And God is not dead. He's just moving. But what he's doing, he's watching. He's waiting on us to get to the point where we will mobilize and that we will stop condemning based on sex. We will stop condemning based on all these different things, color or skin, any of that. Martin Luther King said, you know, the content of their character one day, that our sons will be judged by the content of the character, not the color of their skin. So, folks, I'm just saying to you this, that if you're going to be angry at anything, be angry with the sin. Be angry at the sin that leads to that, and behind that is the enemy who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy because he's got you hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led astray, and he's running amok. And I want you to know you're better than that. You and I are both better than that. We can do more. We can do more together than we can on our own. But we've got to unite. We've got to come together and start talking about an action plan so that we can put together strategies and solutions. I encourage you to join me on Wednesday of this week where we'll have Dr. Johnny Parker, Reverend Jonathan Queen. These are all men from First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, Maryland, who are leaders in the community, leaders of men, leaders of youth, as well as Brother Harold Fisher, who is a longtime journalist on the WHUR 96.3 here in the D.C. area on the Daily Trum. He will be joining us as well. And to be determined, again, Chief will not be able to join us, but I have invited a high-ranking official. We had the Chief, but he'll be out of town. Bless his heart. So, Chief, shout-out to you again if you're going to listen to this. I want to thank you. I salute you for what you have done in Prince George's County and you continue to do. And I want all the law enforcement officers, all the folks who have who served in our country, who are serving in law enforcement, to know that your labor is not in vain, that we respect you, that we appreciate you, and we know that one bad apple doesn't make it wrong. Just like one man of color doesn't mean that all of them are bad either. So what we've got to do is put our prejudice aside, put our bias aside, and stop condemning others by the content of what they wear, the color of their skin, because of one person or a few people. We can't put them all together and lump it together. We wouldn't want somebody to do that to us. So I want you all to know that I love you. Thank you all for listening tonight. I want to turn it over to Ed and Deb for closing comments, and I'm done. Ed, Deb, I'll turn it over to you for your closing comments and thoughts.
Man, awesome, brother. Awesome, man. I just wanted to say, Chris, I think this weekend or last week you and I were talking, and I made a comment, and I just want to share this with to our listening audience that, you know, whenever we get angry, we oftentimes want to we become sad, and so we oftentimes want to isolate ourselves, right? And I want to encourage us not to do that, because it's in isolation road or isolation highway. That's where the devil lives. That's where he thrives. You know, that's where he sleeps. That's where he eats. That's where he breathes. That's where he does everything, on that isolation highway. And so that's a highway you just don't want to take, because once you get on it, you're in a place where the devil wants you, where he needs you, where he desires you the most, and he can do whatever he wants to do with you, and you will have absolutely no control over it. I encourage you that whenever you get angry about anything, talk it out. Find someone that you can trust. Find someone that is willing to listen to you. Find someone that can talk some sense into you. Talk it out. Ladies and gentlemen, talk it out. Do not isolate yourself, because it's in isolation the devil will get you, and he will do what he does best with you.
Yeah, that's a great point. And sometimes, you know, you may not be able to find anyone to talk to. Find another method, another outlet for your anger. Go to the gym. Go for a run. Go for a walk. Scream. Punch your pillow. Get up. Move. Don't sit in front of the TV. Don't sit in front of the person that's continuing to make you angry. Sometimes you need to take a time out. You need a breather. And, you know, recognizing that you're angry, get some help. Take an anger management class. You know, do something that calms you down. Color, you know, color a picture, paint a picture, something that will relieve the pressure, relieve the stress, relieve the anger. We are in a very volatile time in our community, in our nation right now. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of misunderstanding. And we cannot allow ourselves, as the people of God, we cannot allow ourselves to get caught up in the hype. We cannot get caught up in the hype. So, again, find someone to talk to. Find some activity to release the anger. Read the word. Play some gospel music. Sing at the top of your lungs. You know, pray. Talk to God. But release the anger, because the anger will go to rage. And rage will cause you to do something that you may regret for the rest of your life. It's not worth it.
Absolutely. Well said, guys. Again, I just want to thank you all for listening. And it has been a treat tonight to be your co-MC along with Brother Ed and the other significant other of the Smiths over there, Debbie Smith. You know, and I just want to say I appreciate you guys and celebrate what you stand for, and your best is still yet to come. So thank you, everybody. I want to let you go out on this note with this little bit of song right here for you that I want to play, and then we're going to bounce out, okay?
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just want to be happy, but if I keep on doing the thing that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame. If I'm not happy, wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy, cry your yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works
if you want to be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy?
Yeah.
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hand.
I'm talking to you to say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way.
You've been there too long.
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
I feel this one right here.
Hey, everybody, that brings it to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody again for listening, and I am honored that you took time out of your schedule to do so. So stay, be blessed, and I will see you and talk with you again on this Wednesday. Tune in on Wednesday at 9 p.m. For the next episode is How Do We Rebuild, Restore a Community or a Nation in Mourning, okay? Thank you. God bless. Good night.